Yeah, check it out. Y'all want to win a free vacation to the jungles of Costa Rica this summer and help support the Scott Horton Show? You can. Joshua Hughes, peace activist and permaculturalist, runs Verde Energia Pacifica, an intentional community in the mountains of Llanos de Periscal, Costa Rica, and he's offered to raffle off a week's stay to listeners of this show. Airfare is on you, but transportation to and from the airport, as well as a 7-day stay for you and a guest in your own private house with 3 meals a day, is covered. You can learn and practice some skills, or just go for a swim in their river, pool, or waterfall, walk jungle trails, enjoy the views, do yoga or dance in the studio, make art, play music, check out a local soccer game, or simply relax in a hammock by the river and read. Raffle tickets are just $50. Stop by scotthorton.org/raffle for details. And anyone who enters will get half off on any future stay down there. scotthorton.org/raffle.
Hey, y'all, how's it going? Oh, yeah? Oh, that's good. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, check it out. Y'all want to win a free vacation to the jungles of Costa Rica this summer and help support the Scott Horton Show? You can. Joshua Hughes, peace activist and permaculturalist, runs Verde Energia Pacifica, an intentional community in the mountains of Llanos de Periscal, Costa Rica, and he's offered to raffle off a week's stay to listeners of this show. Airfare is on you, but transportation to and from the airport, as well as a 7-day stay for you and a guest in your own private house with 3 meals a day, is covered. You can learn and practice some skills, or just go for a swim in their river, pool, or waterfall, walk jungle trails, enjoy the views, do yoga or dance in the studio, make art, play music, check out a local soccer game, or simply relax in a hammock by the river and read. Raffle tickets are just $50. Stop by scotthorton.org/raffle for details. And anyone who enters will get half off on any future stay down there. scotthorton.org/raffle.
Yeah, doesn't that sound like a good deal? Yeah, I think so too. All right. Hang on, I gotta take a drink of this thing here. Yeah. Okay. So, buy yourself a raffle ticket. As of right now, you got a really good chance to win, man. I don't know why. I'm surprised. Have sold some, but I'm surprised at how few I've sold. And I know Costa Rica's far away, and you got to pay your own airfare down there, but I figure, you know, if you can afford your own plane to Costa Rica, you can afford a $50 raffle ticket. And then your own little house for a week, a hammock by the river. Mike in the chat room yesterday said, you had me at hammock. Did you say hammock? Blam, $50, throw down. So, yeah, you know, if it wasn't my contest, I might enter the damn thing. I mean, what's $50, right? And it's a lot, but then again, once you've spent it, yeah, you won't miss it. You'll make another $50 to replace it here pretty soon, kind of thing. This is why I'm poor. I don't have a very good concept of money. Anyway, if I had the time and the inclination and lacked the conflict of interest, I think I might sign up myself. By the way, Joshua Hughes is going to be on the show tomorrow to talk all about the goddamn thing, what the place is, and what your vacation will be like, and all of that. So, you know, it's funny. I think, either maybe both things. Two lessons I learned yesterday. I got spam in the email saying, win a trip to Costa Rica. And I thought, hey, so that tells me two things. One, people really like trips to Costa Rica, so much so that you can make spam like that and maybe make some money off it. And then the second part of it was, people are so used to hearing pitches for trips to Costa Rica that they think of it all as a bunch of spam and a bunch of crap. But it's not. In this case, this is Verde Energia, an intentional community. And let me see here, man. If you go to verdenergia.org. Hey, yeah. Verde, V-E-R-D, Energia, .org. Then you learn all about permaculture and this and that and all the cool stuff they do. And then, cool, they just sent me in the email as I'm sitting here yammering on about it. They sent me a bunch of pictures Let's see if I can see some large icons here. Wrong folder. Let's try this one. Well, I don't know. I guess I gotta open them all in Photoshop. I don't know why. Maybe there's some kind of weird PNG thing or something. My previewer don't want to preview them. But well, that looks pretty cool. Alright, tell you what I'll do here. Let's try to open up all these. That looks pretty cool. If you like yoga and stuff like that, like yoga. That also looks really cool. Man, I want to go to Costa Rica. Ah, oh, cute little puppy. I want to go. Yeah, it looks great. I need more pictures. These are some good pictures. But yeah, man, so check it out. $50. Enter now for your chance to win at scotthorton.org/raffle. scotthorton.org/raffle. Actually, if you look at the front page of my site, scotthorton.org, you'll see a blog entry there on stress, too, all about it. scotthorton.org/raffle. It's pretty easy to remember, at least, right? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll just talk about Costa Rica raffles all day on the show today. What do you think? Yeah, I should probably do a little better than that. I got no guests. Maybe everybody was just so enthralled watching Donald Trump's announcement that he's running for president that they just couldn't get around to answer my damn emails. Oh, yeah, well, who says I wanted you guests to answer my emails anyway? You non-email-answering-ass guests, you. All right, well, yeah, maybe we'll hear from some of them. I don't know, maybe not. But I got plenty of bad news to cover. I got Iraq and Syria, sides of the Islamic State war. I got Libya. I got Israel-Palestine. I got America's support for Nazis in the Ukraine. I got drug war stuff and killer cops. Plenty to cover for you today on the show. All right. Oh, that's cool. All right. Yeah, let's start with Israel-Palestine today on the show. Still got a few minutes here to get started with. Jason Ditz, news.antiwar.com. Israel insists only 56% of those killed in the Gaza war were civilians. Report defends attack as a moral war by a moral country with values. What are they, selling soda or something? The report's attempts to water down the casualties figures in their month-long war appears to have been ill-considered, however, with claims that 44% of the slain were combatants, putting the civilian figure at 56%, much lower than international estimates, but not exactly a figure to be proud of. Israel was under criticism during the war for deliberate targeting of civilian neighborhoods, ordering locals to evacuate en masse without there being any place within the strip that was not being bombed, and also for deliberately attacking UN facilities they knew to be full of refugees at the time. The UN's own figures on the report had 67% of the slain as civilians, while Palestinians had put the figure somewhere between 70 and 75%. With over 2,000 people killed in the Israeli attacks, even the foreign ministry's 56% seems like an awful lot of bystanders. Bystanders, that's different. Yeah, anyway. I like that. They insist only 56% of those killed were civilians in their canned hunt. And, you know, I'm so conflicted because my whole life, I think, since I was a little kid in the 80s, man, when she first started doing stand-up comedy on what was then called Comedy Planet, right? Before it was Comedy Central, wasn't it Comedy Planet? I used to watch Roseanne Barr on there. And I just love her, man. And she follows me on Twitter, and she retweets my tweets sometimes and things like that. And then sometimes I follow her, but then I always end up unfollowing her again because she is so mean on the Israel-Palestine thing. And it seems like she could be a great advocate for the Palestinians. But I saw her insisting this morning that the Gazans started it by firing rockets. But, well, that's just not so. I can remember a year ago, and it was the Israelis who started it, pretending to hunt for three kidnapped, but they knew already murdered Israelis that were not murdered by Hamas. And then they attacked the Gaza Strip, and the rockets were retaliation.
Don't you get sick of the Israel lobby trying to get us into more wars in the Middle East? Or always abusing Palestinians with your tax dollars? It once seemed like the lobby would always have full-spectrum dominance on the foreign policy discussion in D.C. But those days are over. The Council for the National Interest is the America lobby, standing up and pushing back against the Israel lobby's undue influence on Capitol Hill. Go show some support at councilforthenationalinterest.org. That's councilforthenationalinterest.org.
Hey, I'm Scott Horton here for The Future of Freedom, the monthly journal of the Future Freedom Foundation at fff.org/subscribe. Since 1989, FFF has been pushing an uncompromising moral and economic case for peace, individual liberty, and free markets. Sign up now for The Future Freedom, featuring founder and president Jacob Hornberger, as well as Sheldon Richmond, James Bovard, Anthony Gregory, Wendy McElroy, and many more. It's just $25 a year for the print edition, $15 per year to read it online. That's fff.org/subscribe. And tell them Scott sent you.
Can I just say about the dinosaur movie that I watched it on the Pirate Bay? You know about the Pirate Bay. You can watch movies on there. Well, you can get them from there to watch. So I watched it. Good audio, good video. I mean, 10 out of 10. High quality. And the whole time I kept hoping that the dinosaur was going to bite the lady from Zero Dark Thirty's face off, but then it never did. That's the happy ending, that she doesn't get her face bit off? The happy ending would be if she got her face bit off. You know, I like redheads. It's not that I'm prejudiced against redheads. I just don't like her because she made all that money knowingly acting in this fake, evil government CIA propaganda film where she and her buddies torture the whereabouts of Osama bin Laden out of these men. In order to try to imprint that in your tiny little brains as the official history of how it went down. Oh, they lied and lied and lied and lied. Oh, and isn't it funny how CIA torturers are hot redheaded ladies with perky little boobies? Oh, she's so perky as she tortures people and convinces you to believe that torture is just how we do business in America because it works so well, like that time they got Osama bin Laden. Look at my giant mansion that I live in. And the giant piles of money that I have sex in. That I got paid for helping the CIA brainwash you and your little sister into believing evil lies. So I hate her guts. And she's a terrible actress. She's just terrible. I don't know who picks the actors and actresses these days. What's her name? Jennifer something? But I kept thinking, here soon the dinosaur is going to bite her face off, and then the movie will be worthwhile. But then, no, it never happens. I'm spoiling the movie for you. She never does get her face bit off in the whole damn thing. It's really a tragedy. Skies is a thriller, you know. All right, anyway. So back to Israel and Palestine. This guy Netanyahu is such a clown. You know, it seems like the Zionists ought to go to Madison Avenue and ask for some advice from the advertising folk. Hey, how's brand Israel doing these days? Well, your leader is a contemptible clown. And that's a really bad mix. Right? Like Obama, he's contemptible. I don't know if he's so much a clown. You know what I mean? Netanyahu, though, is just absurd. I don't know, I guess you could argue Obama's a clown, too. But not like Netanyahu, though. He's got his own ballpark to be in. And It's Godwin's law. You're not supposed to bring up the Nazis, right? Like I screwed up last week in the Sandy Tolan interview. You're never supposed to bring up the Nazis. You know, this is just like National Socialism. Oh, no, you're not supposed to say that. Nobody's ever supposed to compare anything to Nazis, ever. All right, well, so Netanyahu did it this time. And he says, yeah, BDS is a precursor to attacks on Jews. Phil Weiss writes, I suppose it was bound to happen eventually. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said BDS, the Palestinian-led nonviolent global movement for justice in Palestine, resembled Nazi Germany. He said it during a meeting with Poland's foreign minister. In speaking of the, quote, defamation of the Jewish people in Poland when Nazis controlled the country. The attacks, this is the quote, the attacks on the Jews were always preceded by the slander of the Jews. What was done to the Jewish people then is being done to the Jewish state now, he cried. In those days, we could do nothing. Today, we can speak our mind, hold our ground. We're going to do both. Well, of course, you are going to hold his ground for him, that money that they take right out of your paycheck at the end of every week. But anyway, what a joke. So you can see right through this, right? You know, I was talking with a friend and she was saying, well, you know, where I'm from, everybody, they just love Israel no matter what. They can't even hear a word about it. Really? Well, what if the leader of Israel is looking your neighbors there in your hometown right in the eye and calling them stupid? What if he's saying to them, hey, you stupid idiot. It's not the occupation. There is no occupation. What occupation? The only people who oppose Israeli foreign policy are vicious anti-Semites. You stupid idiot. Believe that. What, those bulldozers tearing down people's houses? Bulldozing even their cemeteries so that we can build a museum of tolerance on top of where their ancient cemetery was? No, that doesn't have anything to do with anything. What, stealing all their water? Killing their kids? They're not mad about that. No one in the world is mad about an occupation that has lasted longer than the Soviets occupied Eastern Europe. Nobody's mad about that. Hell, nobody has ever even heard of that. There's no such thing as that. It's Nazism, that's what it is. Yep. There you go. What a ridiculous line of crap from this clown, Benjamin Netanyahu. So, what say you, conservative, Texan, Christian, Americans, when this prime minister looks you right in the face and calls you stupid, calls your wife stupid, calls your cousin stupid? Hey, you idiots, he says to you. Hey, you goddamned fools. Yeah. The Israeli government is not occupying millions and millions of people in the West Bank, East Jerusalem, the Gaza Strip. Doesn't blow them up. Doesn't starve them. Doesn't steal their property. Doesn't bulldoze their homes. Doesn't burn down their orchards. Doesn't torture their children in prison. In fact, all journalism about the actual state of Israel that exists in the world for the last half a century, just forget all that, okay? Israel is a fantasy in between a couple of lines in your Old Testament. That's all you need to know. And anybody who doesn't like Israel, well, they're just anti-Semites and pro-terrorist. Just like that one time when the Nazis occupied Poland and murdered millions of them. Remember that? Wow, how convincing. The fact that he begins his statement with, you would have to be a damned fool to believe what I'm about to tell you. So get ready. Here it comes, you stupid idiots. Yeah, all those liberals hate us because of what Nazis they are. Right? Because everybody knows about the civil rights left is that they're a bunch of bigoted anti-Semites. Right? That's why they're marching arm in arm with the Black Lives Matter crew, you know, pushing for civil rights in America for the last 70 years. It's because of what bigots they are, right? These sons of sons and grandsons of the people who went and fought and, well, helped the Russians to defeat the Nazis. Oh, yeah, BDS. It's just like National Socialism, only without any of the nationalism or socialism. But, well, maybe some of the socialism.
Hey, y'all. Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson knows his stuff. He made a killing running his own hedge fund and always gets out of the stock market before the government-generated bubbles pop. Which is, by the way, what he's doing right now, selling all his stocks and betting on gold and commodities. Sign up at WallStreetWindow.com and get real-time updates from Mike on all his market moves. It's hard to know how to protect your savings and earn a good return in an economy like this. Mike Swanson can help. Follow along on paper and see for yourself. WallStreetWindow.com.
Hey, you own a business? Maybe we should consider advertising on the show. See if we can make a little bit of money. My email address is scott@scotthorton.org. All right, welcome back to the show. And listen, I'm sorry for just making fun of Netanyahu for being a clown. The point is that he's got no argument. The point is he's got no argument. As Yuri Avnery pointed out, it's been 48 years since the 67 war and the beginning of the occupation of the West Bank, Gaza Strip, East Jerusalem, the Golan Heights. 67 years. Since the foundation of the State of Israel. Ain't that a funny little trick of math right there? 48, 67, the way that works? Founded in 48, 67 years ago. 48 years ago was 1967, the war and the beginning of the occupation. And, you know, when Jimmy Carter and Zbigniew Brzezinski did the Camp David Accord in 1978 or 79... which was the peace treaty with Egypt, which has kept the peace between Egypt and Israel ever since. Part of that deal was that they were going to give up the occupation, which at that time was just, you know, 11 years old, a dozen years old. And, they never lived up to their end of the deal. Boy, America has been paying billions to Israel and Egypt to keep the peace between them ever since. And, Egypt has lived up to their end of the deal, but Israel's never lived up to their end. And so anyway, now, you know, for my whole lifetime, there's been the occupation there. Now it's supposed to just be taken for granted that this is just how it's always ever going to be. That the Palestinian people, you can't call them citizens in any way, really. The Palestinian people of the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, and East Jerusalem are just like the helots of ancient Greece. They're just to be conquered and forever occupied and beaten down. That's the status quo forever. And then you're supposed to believe, really, they would, the Prime Minister of Israel would have us believe that anybody who complains about that is simply motivated by Nazism and anti-Semitism. He's going to actually make that claim out loud. Oh, well, you just hate all Jews. Really? How come I married one then? That must not be the answer. Maybe the answer is I believe that all Palestinians are born with self-evident, unalienable rights like life, liberty, and property. How about that? Maybe I just hate injustice. And seriously, you know what? I couldn't make that stuff up about digging up, you know, bulldozing the Palestinian, the ancient graveyard, at least is hundreds and hundreds of years old, graveyard there, to build a museum of tolerance on top of it. I couldn't make that crap up. Go and Google it and look. And then the Museum of Tolerance is huge with a giant yard and all this landscaping and all this stuff. They could have put it in a little building, but no, man. Let's build a gigantic monument to our victimhood on top of somebody else's cemetery in occupied territory. For God's sake, how cynical and horrible do you have to be to wear out the Holocaust? Right? where the Holocaust itself is like a cynical, exploitative talking point. Yeah, I'm sick and tired of hearing about that. Reasonable people say. Because it's the excuse. It's the paper-thin excuse for the oppression of the people of Palestine who didn't perpetrate it. Had nothing to do with it. One of the greatest tragedies in human history. But you know what? Let's see if you can wear it out in just a couple of decades. If you can use it up to where it's nothing but a cynical, exploitative talking point in the hands of land rustlers. That's what we call them here in Texas. Land rustlers. Somebody who steals land from somebody is just a thief. The worst kind of thief. Well, I mean, unless they're Apache or whatever, then they get killed in there. But you can't rustle land from somebody who rustle land from an Apache around here. Oh, no, sir, you get in trouble. The Comanche, too. Yeah, they steal their stuff. But anyway, I'm just tired of the dishonesty. That's the thing about it. Seriously. Oh, yeah, boo-hoo, you're an anti-Semite if you disapprove of what? Facts like dropping high explosives on little kids in a canned hunt? Come on, guys. Let's go on a canned hunt. Yeah, we're going to hunt human beings. Most of them civilians. Super majorities. And a majority of those, or, you know, a bare majority of those, kids. And then, if anybody says, hey, you shouldn't do that, we'll say, oh yeah, well you're just an anti-Semite, like Hitler, and the Stufenstaffel, or how do you say it? You're like the Waffen-SS. You know who also didn't like the IDF? The Nazis. Even though, okay, there was no IDF then, and there was no occupation then, and... Oh, it was the British occupation. Hey, I wonder, the Israeli terrorists, who blew up the British when they were occupying Palestine, were they motivated by radical Islam too? Were they terrorists because they were from the Middle East? Or was that just politics? All right. And then here's something else I think is important for you to know about. The peace process is, quote, a savior for a war. Now, I know many of you already understand this, but I think it's an important point to try to emphasize here. And, you know, for Americans to get their heads around. This is by Philip Weiss at MondoWeiss.net. Israeli author Ari Shavit. Israeli author Ari Shavit says that Israel has been able to gain international immunity for using force against Palestinians on several occasions. From the 1930s pre-state days to 2009, because it was seen as sincerely pursuing peace. The failed Camp David peace process, quote, was a savior for war, Shavit says. And Israel's current government risks losing this shield because it has abandoned, quote, the moral high ground by abandoning the peace process. Shavit laid out this realpolitik in a panel Wednesday night on the future of Israel at the 92nd Street Y in New York. Shavit is a celebrated figure in the American Jewish community because of his 2013 bestseller, My Promised Land, which presents Israel as a miraculous country that has done some bad things and which was excerpted in The New Yorker and celebrated on Charlie Rose and Fresh Air. In the Israel discussion Wednesday night, panelist Dan Sinor said that Israeli policy on a two-state solution would be no different under labor leader Isaac Herzog, who lost in the March election, than it is under right-wing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Shavit agreed and said that both Jewish left and right in Israel had failed through utopianism. The right has a utopian vision of a greater Israel. The left has a naive, utopian, he said, concept of a peace process that could deliver a Palestinian state when this wasn't possible, rather than offering Palestinians incremental changes on the ground. And then he goes on here. I don't want to get, you know, too far into this giant block quote, but that's the point right there. And you see, it's all about perception. This is exactly what Abe Foxman said the other day, too. I read that quote to you from Abe Foxman, that look, even if it doesn't work, you've got to be seen as trying. If you're just saying outright, hell no, the Palestinians can all just lay down and die. They'll never own property ever. Not for 1,000 years will they be free in this land. Then you're going to lose the support of the Americans and of American Jews, who are liberal civil rightsy types, not tribalist national socialists. And that's what he's saying too. You gotta at least pretend, or else the game is up.
Hey, Al, Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new book by Michael Swanson, The War State. In The War State, Swanson examines how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy both expanded and fought to limit the rise of the new national security state after World War II. If this nation is ever to live up to its creed of liberty and prosperity for everyone, we are going to have to abolish the empire. Know your enemy. Get The War State by Michael Swanson. It's available at your local bookstore or at Amazon.com in Kindle or in paperback. Just click the book in the right margin at ScottHorton.org or TheWarState.com.
Hey, y'all, guess what? You can now order transcripts of any interview I've done for the incredibly reasonable price of $2.50 each. Listen, finding a good transcriptionist is near impossible, but I've got one now. Just go to ScottHorton.org/transcripts, enter the name and date of the interview you want written up, click the PayPal button, and I'll have it in your email in 72 hours max. You don't need a PayPal account to do this. Man, I'm really going to have to learn how to talk more good. That's scotthorton.org/transcripts. All right, you guys, I'm Scott Horton. I'm at scotthorton.org. The audio, the MP3 archives are broken right now for some reason. Server's down, but we'll get that fixed for you. That damn always happens, man. The thing. Server problems, man. All right. It's my show. I really wanted to interview Mitch Prothero about his latest Iraq piece. He's got 1 year after shocking capture of Mosul, Islamic State remains formidable. Yeah, I really think that's right, unfortunately. I don't think they'll last too long. Time is on our side, but they're not just Al-Qaeda in Iraq anymore, man. You got to admit, after a year of this, they're just getting stronger, seems like. Well, they lost to Crete. Neither side can seem to hold on to Baiji, but they've expanded into Ramadi, and, you know, like Coburn says, hey, they're conscripting. By the hundreds of thousands, or by the tens of thousands, anyway. Apparently, they have taxation systems set up. They've got their local courts and, you know, local dispute resolutions and whatever. I'm not saying that they provide all the services of a Western European nation state, but they're trying. You know, they're working on it. And they're surrounded by weak enemies. I mean, that's the thing. They're surrounded by enemies, but they're all very weak. The Peshmerga, with American air support, are getting some work done, I guess, the Kurds in Syria as well. But as Lande said, you know, but they're not about to invade Mosul. They can try to keep the Islamic State out of Kurdistan as best they can. But that's not the same thing as being able to defeat them. The Turks could defeat them, but the Turks don't mind them. I guess the Turks apparently prefer the al-Nusra Front, still loyal to Ayman al-Zawahiri. These are our NATO allies, to the Islamic State. But they sure don't seem to mind them, and there's virtually no threat whatsoever that they're going to go liberate Mosul or Fallujah, Ramadi from these guys, which leaves the Iranians, who could do it, but I don't think they want to send in their whole army, which is what they'd have to do, is really invade and dispatch a force. And then that would just change everything on the ground there so badly. It would just guarantee further consequences along these lines. It's like the current situation is the consequence from the last war, a move in the line. So that the Shia control all of the capital city now. And, you know, I saw on Twitter earlier where McCain is saying, let's arm the Kurds. McCain and Rand Paul are saying, let's arm the Kurds. And the Secretary of Defense said, no, dude, we're arming the Iraqi government. And yes, we know the Iraqi government ain't doing enough to work with the Kurds, but we got to try to keep the Iraqi state together, but at least those two parts of the alliance here. But who are they kidding? All the king's horses and all the king's men can't undo what George Bush did, why he expedited the chaotic collapse to Iraq and Syria, just like David Wormser wanted. Just like the neocons planned. And Iraq no longer exists. And if you, used all your magic or your highest of tech to hunt down and kill every last Islamic State leader, it's still just call it Sunnistan then. But the Sykes-Picot border is gone. Well, it's not even really the Sykes-Picot border, but pretty close. The one that used to divide Syria and Iraq. That's pretty much over, and it seems like it's going to stay gone. And Iraqi Sunnistan is never again going to participate in the Baghdad government or, you know, be welcomed into it or want to be. They will never again submit to rule by Baghdad unless they're simply conquered in some other time and place. So, yeah, Iraq is over. For the policy to be, yeah, well, you know, we got to work with Iraq. You mean Iraqi Shiistan? Because we've seen the policy that, oh yeah, they're supposed to work with the local Sunnis and try to repeat the awakening movement and all this. That's already failed. That's not working. That's not going to happen. They're too afraid to give weapons to the anti-ISIS Sunnis. And they don't want the anti-ISIS Sunnis as part of their government. They don't want to have to be bound to promise anything to them. You know what, damn it? I've been covering this on this show since 2003 or 4 at least with Robert Dreyfus. He's the guy, man, at The Nation and Tom Paine and wherever else he used to always write, Tom Dispatch. And Bob Dreyfus, man, he explained about the Supreme Islamic Council and the Dawa Party, the Iranian-backed and American-backed factions that took over Baghdad and their agenda all along. Just screw the Sunnis. They don't want to rule all of Iraq, just Shiistan. And if they can push the border of Shiistan a little bit further to the west, like, say, to surround Baghdad, using the Americans as their sock puppets to get it done, then sure, that's easy. But as far as conquering Fallujah and Mosul and Ramadi, why would they want to? It's enemy territory, and it's not like it's land full of oil and minerals. All the oil is up in the north and down in the south. So this is why Muqtada al-Sadr was always kind of the reluctant member of the majority Shiite coalition of the United Iraqi Alliance back then. He would always denounce Dawa and the Supreme Islamic Council for their sectarianism and for their divide and rule strategy, or not even rule, but just divide strategy. Strong federalism, they would call it. And Sadr would always say, no, man, we want to have a nationalist Arab-Iraqi alliance. Well, I don't care who's Sunni and who's Shia. You can be Sunni as long as we're all Iraqi together, and we oppose the foreign intervention of the Americans and the Iranians, he would say. And then the Americans and the Iranians and their sock puppets, or is it the other way around, the Supreme Islamic Council and the Dawa Party would win out over him and continue on. And America, of course, would accuse Sadr of being the most Iran-backed of all the Shiite factions when he was the least. He was the one who was opposing the Iranian agenda out of all the Shiite leaders. As they're dividing that country into pieces, tearing it apart. And anyway, so whoever's going to rule Sunnistan, whether it's the Islamo-fascist caliphate or something or somebody else, it's not going to be Baghdad. Although I guess it doesn't surprise me that the American policy is still based on already long lost catastrophe. Why wouldn't it be? All right, and then a couple minutes here. I wanted to mention. Are you kidding me? Jesus Christ. I wanted to mention that they did a strike in Yemen where they say they killed the head of Al-Qaeda in Yemen. Nasser al-Wahashi. And apparently the Al-Qaeda guys in Yemen confirmed that. And they've never been shy about admitting their casualties. They like to, you know, celebrate their martyrs and that kind of thing. So they admitted that that was the case, is my understanding. I admit I didn't look, you know, very close at this. But it's Landes reporting at McClatchy, D.C. here. And he also, as we talked about yesterday, is writing about the Belmokhtar killing supposedly in Libya, which I read a thing this morning that was saying that they missed him, that doubts are growing that the U.S. strike in Libya, let's see, U.S. strike in Libya killed three, but growing doubts that the target was among them. That's Jason Ditz at news.antiwar.com. After Libyan officials initially, quote, confirmed, they followed up by saying they were unsure who was actually killed in the strike. So, is this real? Is this person being silly or what? Oh, for crying out loud. All right, and then let's see what time is. Okay, 30 seconds. Hey, how about I tell you this? Join up the chat room. Hang out with the guys. Hey, chat room guys, how you doing this morning? ScottHorton.org/chat. So all you need is a plain old browser window. And fake name and a caption, you're in. It's an IRC Freenode chat if you have external applications for such things. It's hashtag Scott Horton Show. You can hang out with the guys in there. When we get back, I got American support, or maybe soon less support for Nazis in Ukraine. And I got politics and I got police state stuff. Hang tight. It's the Scott Horton Show here on the Liberty Radio Network. Hey, all Scott here. If you're like me, you need coffee. Lots of it. And you probably prefer it tastes good, too. Well, let me tell you about Darren's Coffee Company at darrenscoffee.com. Darren Marion is a natural entrepreneur who decided to leave his corporate job and strike out on his own, making great coffee. And Darren's Coffee is now delivering right to your door. Darren gets his beans direct from farmers around the world. All specialty, premium grade, with no filler. Hey, the man just wants everyone to have a chance to taste this great coffee. darrenscoffee.com. Use promo code Scott and you get free shipping. darrenscoffee.com. Hey, all Scott Horton here. It's always safe to say that one should keep at least some of your savings in precious metals as a hedge against inflation. And if this economy ever does heat back up and the banks start expanding credit, rising prices could make metals a very profitable bet. Since 1977, Robertson Roberts Brokerage Inc. has been helping people buy and sell gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, and they do it well. They're fast, reliable, and trusted for more than 35 years. And they take Bitcoin. Call Robertson Robertson at 1-800-874-9760 or stop by rrbi.co. Oh, hell yeah. Lake Travis is going to be full to the top by the time this is over. My lake been thirsty for a long time. But I wasn't worried. You know why? Because I've seen this happen before. I've seen Lake Travis way, way low and then, it rains for a couple of weeks and then, blam, full right back up to the top again. We're pretty close right now. It's not all the way full, but I drove by and saw it few days ago. Oh, last Wednesday on the way out to the vert ramp, I saw it. And, yeah, man. And then now they're saying it's going to rain for the next 4 or 5 days or something. So, all right. Good for my lawn, too. Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, I'm Scott Horton. This is my show. And, yeah, it's raining outside. I don't know if you can hear it or not, but I can, and I like it. All right. Today on the show, no guests because, I don't know. Hell, Dennis Edney is the only one who answered me. That's Omar Khadr's lawyer, and he said, no, man, can't do it. Too tired for doing radio. Well, okay. That's right, because I got plenty of news to cover my own self here. You know what? I'm tired of Ukraine. I'm going to do cop stuff and then Ukraine later. How about that? Police state first. All right. Yeah, maybe I missed it. All right. Why the war on drugs was always destined to fail is the name of this article at colonelmag.daily.com. Anyway, why the war on drugs was always destined to fail. And so they talk about a lot of different aspects of it. In fact, it's an interview of a guy who just wrote a book about it, okay? But so here's the thing that I wanted to talk about, and this is something that, I don't know, man. I guess I sound like I'm concerned trolling. But I sort of think that it's their movement and their point, so they can make whatever point they want, I guess. But it seems like the Black Lives Matter movement is missing their own point, really. That the problem here is accountability for cops. And the power ultimately is a lack of political power for blacks. And that's just because, as the movement would tell you, they're the descendants of the slaves. They're from the underclass. They might have built this country, but they were never considered the city fathers, the town fathers, or the founders of this, that, or the other thing. And so they're low-hanging fruit, that's all. That's the point. And I don't mean that personally. I'm saying that, you could get Darren Wilson to say, yeah, of course Black Lives Matter, right? There's, same thing with the anti-Semitism argument about Israel. The amount of people in this country, the percentage of people in this country who are just avowedly racist against blacks, who just mean it unapologetically and are just racist, and are just unapologetically bigoted toward Jews is a tiny percentage of people. You could get a killer cop to chant Black Lives Matter all day long, they'll turn around and still kill one. Right? So who's an avowed racist? What does Black Lives Matter as a slogan really accomplish? I mean, I understand that. Listen, to have to try to insist, to hold a sign that says, I am a man, like, what the hell society are we living in where anyone would think for a minute that they must insist that, hey, I'm a human and I have rights too? Yeah. Well, hopefully, yeah. But the thing of it is, just like we talked about with Magna Carta yesterday, a Bill of Rights is nothing without a society that, means to enforce it. To hold their government to account. That's the hashtag that's been missing all this time. Accountability. Accountability. And why is it that cops would rather kill a black guy than a white guy? I mean, in fact, they kill more white guys than black guys, but it's a percentage thing. If you adjust for proportion of population, they kill way more black guys. Why is that? It's not just because they're out hunting blacks, because they're racist Klansmen, dressed up in a deputy sheriff uniform. Again, there's some like that. But that's not the epidemic here. That's not the problem that we're facing. The problem that we're facing is they know if they pick on blacks that they are much less likely to be held accountable. If they kill a white person, there's a chance that the white person's uncle is a state senator. Right? There's a risk of that. There's a risk that he knows a lawyer who knows the judge and that they might could get in trouble. But if they're picking on blacks, it's not like there are no blacks in office or in political power. But it's just if a cop kills a black guy at, random for fun, he's much less likely to get in trouble for that than for killing a white guy because his victim is much less likely to be connected to somebody who has the ability to do anything about it. That's the answer. And that's, so it's not just racism. In fact, when they say the black civil rights movement, the types on follow on Twitter, they talk a lot about structural racism, where you're not even talking about bigotry in the heart of an officer. You're just talking about bigotry built into the police plan for fighting crime in the city. It is, in effect, extremely racist against people, that kind of thing. That is a thing, too. Absolutely. But that goes more to what I'm talking about. And more, I think, to the point that the avowed racism is kind of a red herring here. And in fact, I can't remember who it was that I read that said, when you say Black Lives Matter, you're telling everybody else that it's not their problem, which is not true. You know, granted, you know, Austin cops where I live, they pretty much only kill black people, I think. There was that guy up in Round Rock, the old man that had a gun in his driveway that they killed. But it's, I bet it's like, you know, 49 out of 50 in Austin are blacks. But I'm still terrified of them. You know, I don't have to be black to be terrified of these guys. And Austin is a very nice town compared to a lot of places. There are some real hard cities in America with some really hard-ass police departments. And you know, I don't think you got to be black to be terrified of these guys. You know, it's like my bumper sticker says, police brutality, not just for black people anymore. What they've been getting away with doing to blacks all along is how they treat everybody now, pretty much. Which I guess means for the blacks, they're treated that much worse. And anyway, I'm finally going to get to my point when I just barely have enough time to get to it before the break. From this article, why does the war on, why the war on drugs was always destined to fail at Colonel Mag? Why does this inequality happen? How poor addicts get treated and how rich addicts get treated. Matthew Fogg is one of the most decorated police officers in the U.S., responsible for tracking down over 300 of the most wanted felons in the country, from murderers to rapists to child molesters. But he was bewildered as to why his force only ever goes to black neighborhoods to bust their drug use. He went to see his boss to suggest they start mounting similar raids in white neighborhoods. His superior officer told him, "Fogg, you know you're right. They are using drugs there. But you know what? If we go out and we start targeting those individuals, they know judges. They know lawyers. They know politicians. They know all the big folks in government. If we start targeting them and their children, you know what's going to happen? We're going to get that phone call and they're going to shut us down, Fogg. You're going to lose your overtime, the money you're making. So we'll go after the weakest link." Just like in my accusation, virtually word for word here, from Matthew Fogg, one of the most decorated cops in America, paraphrasing his boss, quoting him. You hate government? One of them libertarian types? Or maybe you just can't stand the president, gun grabbers, or warmongers. Me too. That's why I invented LibertyStickers.com. Well, Rick owns it now, and I didn't make up all of them, but still. If you're driving around and want to tell everyone else how wrong their politics are, there's only one place to go. LibertyStickers.com has got your bumper covered. Left, right, libertarian, empire, police state, founders quote, central banking. Yes, bumper stickers about central banking. Lots of them. And, well, everything that matters. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck. Man, I need to go dig a hole and sit in it for the next half a year. Because or else how am I going to avoid all the Star Wars spoilers, man? I just saw a picture of Princess Leia. Like the old Carrie Fisher version of Princess Leia in her new Star Wars Princess Leia costume. But I really didn't want to know. But I had to click because it had a thing that I could click and there was a debate in my brain. Dude, you don't really want to see it. You should just wait. Yeah, but you could see it. Oh, well. I'm trying to be optimistic, man, about the new ones, you know? Seems like they should be good. All right. Yeah, so there you go, man. I was right, just like I always said. It's all about who you're connected to. Matthew Fogg. You know what? I wonder if there's audio of him quoting his boss saying this. Wouldn't that be cool? Let's put that dang old thing in the YouTube there, man, and see what we get. Oh, yeah, here we go. DEA agent told to leave rich white areas alone. Yeah, but the problem is the interview is 3 minutes long. Here, you know what? I'm going to put this clip in the chat room. I'm going to ask you guys to queue it up for me. Somebody queue up this clip. Let me know at what part I should start playing. We'll play the clip of the cop. But yeah, so that's how it works. Yes, absolutely, Black Lives Matter. And the fact that anybody thinks that they have to insist that, hey, I'm a human being and I got dignity and it ain't okay to just murder me, please, thank you, is an absolute disgrace to this society. And I'm not saying that, you know, they're wrong to say that. I'm just saying that the real answer has to be accountability. The focus has to be accountability. Now, my idea sucks, but it's just the best idea I know about. And that is you bring in a DA from another county. You have 50 states pass 50 new laws saying that when a cop kills somebody, it gets reviewed by another DA, another detective from the other side of the state. Because, yeah, that sucks, but that's statism, man. I think we should have a free market. But hell, as long as you got a government, how in the world did anybody think that just having the DA's office be a separate office from the sheriff's department or the city police is a good enough separation, you know? Dun dun. Welcome to Law and Order, where the criminal justice system is represented by separate co-equal branches. The cops and the prosecutors. Oh, yeah, but don't worry. The prosecutors hold the cops accountable all day long because they're so separate and distinct from each other. Dun, dun. Oh, yeah, and the judges, too. And anyway, so what's it come down to? Hey, have you ever been in trouble with the law? Or do you know somebody who's been in trouble with the law? And didn't it all come down to whether their lawyer knew the judge or not? Oh, man. Thank God. Did you hear about, Susie? Yeah, she got a lawyer who knows the judge. Golfs with him, so she's going to be all right. Oh, thank goodness. We were afraid that they were going to take her away forever over the, victimless, harmless thing that she did. Hell, I know people who've gotten away with some serious things because they knew a lawyer who knew the judge. And I know people who got hard time for nothing because their lawyer didn't. And that's the way it all works. Everybody knows that. And so, it'd be crazy. This cop was doing the wrong thing, right? This cop was doing the wrong thing when he went to his boss and said, hey, let's go raid some rich white people. That's not right. What, just to balance it out? How about let's stop raiding the poor black people and the Mexicans and, the lower hanging, less political power, easier targets? How about you just leave people alone? And then I love the boss's answer. Hey, that's your overtime, pal. You want us to all have to go and get jobs? What are you, crazy? Come on, get in the tank. We're going to go tear somebody's house and life apart over a little bit of pot. There you go. That's the quote. I'll read it again. I like it. Fog, you know you're right. They are using drugs there in the rich white neighborhoods. But you know what? If we go out and we start targeting those individuals, they know judges. They know lawyers. They know politicians. They know all of the big folks in government. If we start targeting them and their children, right? Nice little implicit recognition of, yeah, we're targeting the children of the poor blacks that we persecute too. They're so young, you really refer to their parents first and they're just the kids. If we start targeting the rich white people and their children, you know what's going to happen? We're going to get a phone call and they're going to shut us down. You know that, Fog? Can't you just see the boss poking him in the chest with his finger? You know what's going to happen? There goes your overtime. There's the money that you're making. So let's just go after the weakest link. Let's go after those who can't afford the attorneys. those who we can lock up, yeah, and make money off of. Well, they're poor, so you gotta arrest a lot of them, you know, and get the volume working for you there. It's an economy of scale kind of a thing. Yeah, and American society is corrupt and evil. I mean, the state. It's just horrible. Just horrible. Florida cops command police dog to attack a 12-year-old boy. This is at countercurrentnews.com. I wonder if they edited this article yet. I asked them to please edit this. It's just a mess. I think they did. I think they did. Go clean it up. Florida cops command police dog to attack 12-year-old. They claim that there were three boys. Two of them complied with initial orders to stop, but the third boy did not. They claim. But his friends say no, he was down on his knees. He was giving up at the time. And then the cop doesn't run toward him with the dog on the leash. The cop sicks the dog on the boy. Like, go get him. So the minimum amount of time, assuming the cop is a human being at all, that he realizes his mistake at all, you got at a minimum the time it takes for him to travel back over to the dog and pull the dog off. Instead of, you know, going with the dog in the first place, where he could immediately change his mind and act on it. But then again, that assumes that the cop is a human being who made a mistake and upon realizing it would attempt to undo it. But doesn't sound like it really in real life, does it? Because they excuse it. No way, we gave him a warning. 12-year-old boy bitten all over. They say it looks like he was attacked by a bear. That's at countercurrentnews.com right now. Hey, y'all. Scott Horton here for Liberty.me, the social network and community-based publishing platform for the liberty-minded. Liberty.me combines the best of social media technology all in one place and features classes, discussions, guides, events, publishing, podcasts, and so much more. And Jeffrey Tucker and I are starting a new monthly show at Liberty.me, Eye on the Empire. It's just $4 a month if you use promo code Scott when you sign up. And hey, once you do, add me as a friend on there at scotthorton.liberty.me. Be free. Liberty.me. All right, you guys, welcome back to the show. Hey, I'm sorry I forgot to mention this before when I was rambling on about ISIS. Please go read Dan Sanchez, a brilliant young new writer at antiwar.com. I'm so old now, I get to call people young. That feels great. Where does ISIS get those wonderful toys? Now, he says he got that from me, that I said that. Where do they get those wonderful Toyotas? But I must have ripped that off from one of you guys in the chat room or somewhere else, because I don't remember being smart enough to come up with that little jingly thing. I guess I might coulda, but I don't think so. Anyway, Sanchez, he wrote a great article about it. He's our new regular columnist at antiwar.com. Where does ISIS get those wonderful toys? And it's a great write-up of Western support for the rebellion, so-called, in Syria the last 4 years, in equipment, money, coordinated allied support, pickup trucks and guns and the rest. It's really good. And you know what? His one before that was on sort of kind of the same subject, but not really. Salafists gaining ground across the Middle East, and especially due to America, thanks to the American foreign policy. A couple of great articles there by Dan Sanchez. And Mike Strong in the chat room says, talking about water in your yard, yep, you're old. I know, I always think of Bill Hicks where he's talking about his dad. He's going, yeah, my dad, I love him, but he is such a goober. So we're out on vacation, and he's sitting there looking out the window, pondering, scratching his chin, going, well, I wonder how the lawn is. And I was thinking, man, that's just like me right now. I am. I'm a goober, dude. I am Bill Hicks's dad right now. I'm probably worse about the lawn than my dad has ever been. It's true. If you could see all the gray hairs on my chin, you would think that there were a lot. U.S. House admits Nazi role in Ukraine. Yeah, real Nazis, National Socialists, Hitler-loving, Jew-hating kooks with the lightning bolts and the 14s and the 88s and their ridiculous bigotry. Wow. Believe it or not, John Conyers, the tool, he's good on some things, but God, I'll never stop hating him over Waco. But anyway, John Conyers has, they got a thing passed here, right? They approved, the House of Representatives on the 10th approved a bipartisan amendment to the Defense Appropriations Act from Conyers and Ted Yoho from Florida that would block U.S. training of the Azov Battalion, and would prevent transfer of shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missiles to fighters in Iraq and Ukraine. I am grateful that the House of Representatives unanimously passed my amendments last night to ensure that our military does not train members of the repulsive neo-Nazi Azov Battalion, along with my measures to keep the dangerous and easily trafficked manpads out of these unstable regions. And so this is Robert Perry at ConsortiumNews.com writing this. U.S. House admits Nazi role in Ukraine. And you know what you want to do, man, if you want to learn about this. You go to ConsortiumNews.com, or actually you don't. You go to Google or your favorite web search engine thing there that you like, and you put site:ConsortiumNews.com. You don't need the HTTP or none of that nonsense. You just say site:ConsortiumNews.com, Ukraine. And if you want, add Nazis too, but just go and read 25 or 30 of those by Robert Perry and Ray McGovern from the last, I don't know, year and a half. And you'll be caught up. Yeah, no real, no fooling Hitler-loving Nazis. Not like all the liberals, including all the liberal Jews that Netanyahu likes to pretend are Nazis for boycotting. Yeah, what? They're using nonviolence in the open marketplace to boycott Israel? That is just like Nazism. Anyway, here are real no-fooling Nazis, and who sent them into battle but Barack Hussein Obama, the first black president of the United States of America. How do you like that? George Bush has backed a lot of kooks in his day. But it took Obama to field the first army of Nazis in Europe since the Second World War. And then, you know, as Justin said, this isn't going to stop it. Obama's American army is training the Nazis in Ukraine right now as we speak. They're training these guys. But as Justin put it at antiwar.com, it's the thought that counts. We are very grateful, Conyers, that you've gone ahead and noticed the Azov Battalion. And by the way, I put the links in there too. Go and look at Justin's piece, and you can follow about all the different Nazis who have joined the parliament, how they incorporated the right sector in the Azov Battalion into the army and their National Guard. I guess right sector being called the National Guard and the Azov Battalion are, they had no choice, right? The army had to officially let the Nazis in as Nazis, as their own battalion in the army. Not, you know, disarm and join the army and get down and give me 20 maggot. But no, they're still Nazis. They just have their own Nazi battalion inside the Ukrainian military. And that's who the Americans are training over there. And anyway, Robert Perry's got more than enough evidence for you there. It sounds crazy, I know. That's why, I'm trying to focus on footnotes. BBC, Telegraph, and Vice, and whoever else. Everybody over there, man. Just look up Azov. Look up Svoboda. That's formerly the Social Nationalist Party. Yeah, no, really. Oh, we're not National Socialists. We're Social Nationalists. Oh, okay, good then. Svoboda, Right Sector, and the Azov Battalion. These guys are Hitler-loving Nazis. And proud of it. And so, yeah, America used them to do a coup and overthrow the government in Kiev in February of 2014. And then the people in the East who decided they wanted to secede from the Union or declare autonomy from the coup d'etat government were brutally attacked by the coup d'etat government. And since then supported by the Russians. And the Russians could have just said, oh, yeah, we're incorporating them into Russia now. How do you like that? They didn't want to do that. Oh, yeah, Putin, he's just like Hitler. Who was it I was reading? It might have been Perry. I was just reading somebody the other day who was saying, you know, usually when a lunatic world-conquering dictator rises to power, he doesn't wait 15 years to get started taking over the world. Putin's been ruling over there since New Year's 2000. You know, Medvedev stood in for him for a couple of years there. Well, he was the Speaker of the Parliament or whatever. Anyway, if he was trying to conquer Eastern Europe, boy, is he taking a long time to get started here. And of course, no, the real truth is it's America is the evil empire now. It's America that's incorporated all of Eastern Europe into our Warsaw Pact and working on attempting to surround and threaten and eventually break up and regime change Russia itself. As Carl Gershman, the head of the NED, put it in the Washington Post. Admit it in the Washington Post.
I love Bitcoin, but there's just something incredibly satisfying about having real, fine silver in your pocket. That's why commodity discs are so neat. They're 1 ounce rounds of fine silver with a QR code on the back. Just grab your smartphone's QR reader, scan the coin, and you'll instantly get the silver spot price in Federal Reserve notes and Bitcoin. And if you donate $100 to the Scott Horton Show, he'll send you one. Learn more at facebook.com/commoditydiscs. Commoditydiscs.com.
All right, y'all. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. It's my show, Scott Horton Show. Yeah, check it out. Y'all want to win a free vacation to the jungles of Costa Rica this summer and help support the Scott Horton Show? You can. Joshua Hughes, peace activist and permaculturalist, runs Verde Energia Pacifica, an intentional community in the mountains of Llanos de Periscal, Costa Rica. And he's offered to raffle off a week's stay to listeners of this show. Airfare is on you, but transportation to and from the airport, as well as a 7-day stay for you and a guest in your own private house with 3 meals a day, is covered. You can learn and practice some skills, or just go for a swim in their river, pool, or waterfall, walk jungle trails, enjoy the views, do yoga or dance in the studio, make art, play music, check out a local soccer game, or simply relax in a hammock by the river and read. Raffle tickets are just $50. Stop by scotthorton.org/raffle for details. And anyone who enters will get half off on any future stay down there. ScottHorton.org/raffle. All right, you guys. Do that. ScottHorton.org/raffle. You and a friend or a spouse or a partner, a kid, whoever, for a week, your own place to stay, and a hammock, 3 meals a day. In the jungles of Costa Rica, they got a river and a waterfall and a bunch of cool stuff. And all you got to do is give me $50. ScottHorton.org/raffle. And you will be entered. Wouldn't that be nice? All right, now, yeah, I got to give Rand Paul some credit here. He's doing the right thing. And somehow he even got Ted Cruz to do the right thing with him here. From The Hill. You know, should try to think of some good vocabulary words about how important this is. It's extremely important. Two 2016 presidential competitors have joined forces to get a ban on the indefinite detention of U.S. citizens included in an annual defense policy bill. And I know what you're saying, but Scott Horton, there's already the Fifth Amendment and surely laws that enforce it, right? Yeah, well, except that Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, both of whom are running for president, have joined up with other senators to introduce an amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act currently before the Senate that would ban indefinite detention of U.S. citizens or legal permanent residents without being charged or given a trial unless authorized by Congress. What? Well, I'm going to have to read that whole thing. Did Rand Paul leave those weasel words in there? The Fifth Amendment's the Fifth Amendment. It trumps any law passed by Congress. Feinstein, Collins, Mike Lee also signed on. Quote, the Constitution does not allow President Obama or any president to apprehend an American citizen arrested on U.S. soil and detain these citizens indefinitely without a trial, Cruz said in a statement. While we must vigorously protect national security by pursuing violent terrorists and preventing acts of terror, we must also ensure our most basic rights as American citizens are protected. And Senator Zach, see, now this is just pissing me off. This isn't even right. And I don't know. I mean, it's something, but and see, I don't know about Cruz, but I know that Rand Paul knows better than this. The word senator, what the hell, Scott Horton? The word citizen is not in the Bill of Rights anywhere. It just says people. It's people under the jurisdiction of the U.S. government who are protected by the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights, again, just like in the conversation with Bovard on the show yesterday, is not meant to be a grant of liberties, of license from the state to people. It's a list of declaratory and restrictive clauses against the government by the people. And it doesn't say only citizens of the United States of America are protected by this. It says, government, you cannot deprive people of their life, liberty, or property, or any person, their life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And that means, and the courts have ruled about this for 200 years. A U.S. person means a U.S. citizen anywhere in the world or any person inside the United States of America and subject to its jurisdiction. That's what it means. So for Rand Paul and Ted Cruz to say this only counts for citizens now, defining the Fifth Amendment down, and then saying, unless Congress changes their mind later, is to basically acquiesce to the entire thing. I mean, why even sign on? Hey, he didn't vote for the American Freedom Act, right? Because not good enough, man. Yeah, it's not the Patriot Act, but it's still got too much bad stuff in it. Not for it. Okay, well, same here. Why shouldn't it be the same here? Or maybe this is just really sloppy journalism, but I don't think so. And the reason why, and I don't mean mine, I mean at the Hill. And the reason why I don't think so is because this is the same kind of crap that he was shoveling when he was talking about the drone strikes. He was saying, he even said in his initial Stand with Rand, you know, big media event, that, oh, I don't care if the cops or the FBI or somebody uses an armed drone to kill an armed robber, say, coming out of a liquor store in the middle of a crime. If it's legal for a cop to shoot somebody, then it's legal for a cop to shoot somebody with a drone. I don't care about that. That's fine, he said, out in front of the rest of Washington, D.C. on that issue. And he said, no, I'm only concerned that American citizens, not U.S. persons, not, you know, green card holders, immigrants, legal or illegal, but that U.S. citizens would ever be killed with a drone on American soil by the military or the CIA. in a national defense operation where, in his hypothetical, they're sitting in a cafe. They're not actually imminently engaged, involved in terrorist activity. Using the Alaki example, which they weren't at a cafe, they were out at a barbecue, the son was. The 16-year-old boy that Obama murdered for knowing too much about his father's relationship with the feds. Probably. But anyway, murdered him. So, Mr., you know, Senator Weasel Word is, this is exactly his whole thingamajig here. Find a way to flip and flop around and make it kind of sound good, but not be too good on anything, because then McCain might call you some funny names or something. And so here, what Rand is doing is no better in principle whatsoever than the current version of the NDAA that allows military detention of American citizens. Just as Bovard said on the show yesterday about, wasn't it Bovard on the show? Talking about just the premise. They repealed almost all of the taxes and they kept half of one or something. And then the colonists said, no, because you're trying to prove that you have the authority to tax us in this way. And we say you don't, even though you just gave us a gigantic break. It's the principle of the thing. There are principalities at stake here, Smokey. And we're supposed to rebel at the first experiment on our liberties and all that kind of crap. So if Rand Paul is going to say that the Fifth Amendment only says this, then he's a damn liar. Only citizens? And only unless Congress changes their mind? Why isn't this called the Fifth Amendment Reaffirmation Act? Where all executive branch employees are hereby reminded that the Fifth Amendment is the law, pig, and you will fall in line. And any, you know, previous amendment to the NDAA is null and void. Why can't he just say that? You know, amendment along these lines, pretending to legalize such things. Why can't he just say that? Half-assed Rand Paul. Go read that Fifth Amendment. Tell me if you can find the word citizen in there. All right. Anyway, for those of you who stuck with me for 2 hours, thank you. Stop by scotthorton.org/raffle, and I'll have some good guests for you tomorrow, I pretty much promise. scotthorton.org/raffle. Thanks, guys. See you tomorrow.